Tampa Bay's TAN Talk. Entertaining and informative radio for the Sunshine State.
Come on in, sit right down. Keep your hands up, keep your chin down. Shut the door, time to go with Randy Harrison. Knockout Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, Knockout Radio with Randy Harris is about to start. So get ready for the best MMA talk, games, interviews, prizes, and surprises anywhere for Knockout Radio. I'm the voice, Ray Flores, and now here's Knockout Radio.
Hey-o. Hey, everybody.
What is going on, everybody? Coming to you live from the Apex. I got yelled at. I think I called it the UFC. I think it's just called the Apex, and we've been doing it now for quite some time. Stacked schedule, first and foremost. Matt, where are you? Where are you lost this week?
No, I'm en route. I'm in on the way.
See, that's the difference between you, myself, and our guest who has been kind enough to take over for Jimmy Denning, who is he's on a cruise ship performing. And so our producer, crack producer, and he might have been on crack when he suggested that. Let's welcome to the program. Some people know him as Ron, but here in Las Vegas, the legend that is the G-Man is here.
Thank you. I'm thrilled to death to be here.
I can tell.
Yeah, this is a thrill. I've been waiting for about an hour and a half with you. And frankly, I've said everything I wanted to say. I have nothing new to add to anything.
You know, Matt, it was funny because Ron did get here a little bit early. I neglected to do probably the most important thing for this show. And that's ask permission, if it's okay, from the UFC that Ron does the show. So, Nobby's like, this is not your house. And I'm like, oh, okay.
So what you're trying to say is that you guys are professionals. You show up early for, you know, commitments, radio shows, you know, UFC events. And I just kind of show up whenever I arrive.
That's the kid. Well, that's why, Ron, he's the co-host.
That's why he's in the car, right?
Right, exactly. Exactly. As a matter of fact, that's not even true anymore. Effective next week, Matt is no longer the co-host. Next week, he goes to his permanent position of co-host. As former NFL offensive lineman Caleb Beninat returns to the program. So we're looking forward to that.
Yeah, well, I'm just happy to still have a seat at the table.
Oh, that's a WWE reference.
It's one of those card tables, you know, that folds.
The fold one.
That's where you are.
We plop that extra thing up. So let's run down. Let me run down real quick our guest today. Coming up momentarily, he is the executive director of the, I think it's next Friday, the Union Home Mortgage Gasparilla Bowl. That's Scott Glazer, UCF versus Georgia Tech. We're going to talk to him. I know I'm going to get some ribbing because, unfortunately, the gentleman sitting across from me is a Army veteran. So we will discuss what Steve and I witnessed and took in the experience of covering the Navy-Army game last week.
My sides hurt, too. I laughed so much when that game ended, but that's all right. I've got my composure. Now I can be reflective about it with you.
Before I run down the rest of the schedule, Matt, so we're standing on the field throughout the game. I don't know. Knowing you, you didn't watch the game. So Navy made a bonehead decision. They go for two. They probably shouldn't have. They're now down eight. They're getting ready to score with 5 seconds left. Fourth and whatever. They get stopped on the one-inch line. Okay? So it's an eight-point difference. The game is over. Army has to take one snap. And the guy next to me says, you know, what would be perfect? I took the over. I need a safety here. And Army took the on-purpose safety to push it to over instead of under. I guess the gamblers there love that one.
That's right.
It's a great strategy for the head coach. So, I mean, you know, you fumble in the end zone, they lose the game because of the safety is the safest, smartest way to run out 3 seconds.
Absolutely. It was a definite no-brainer. The schedule, Dustin Jacoby at the bottom of this hour. The top of the last hour, your former champion, Cody Garbrandt, stops by. And Josh Emmett, who has been on the program numerous times. So action-packed. It's going to be a lot of fun. We'll start with some college football here momentarily. But first, you've been on the show before, Ron, but real quickly run down, you know, who you are and, you know, what you have done. And I didn't even know a lot of this. Let's be honest, you probably told me and I forgot. But Steve said, like, you were a big announcer for the White Sox. You've run the Boston Marathon, all sorts of stuff.
Yeah, well, that's all. That's not true. But I go with it usually, you know. So I don't mind. But I don't know why you picked the White Sox, but that's okay. You could have said the Mets or something. But no, I was with the American Urban Radio Networks and going back to the Sheridan Broadcasting Network. Always radio. You know, never in front of the camera.
We both have a face for radio.
Okay, so that's what I. And now I have. You know, I love baseball too. Also, I love all sports, but I have a podcast that it's the G-Man Show, and it's interviews that I've done throughout the years with signature players that have a story to tell. It's kind of like a. An oral history of baseball among the people that I spoke with. I mean, obviously, I'm not going back to the 1800s or even to the Babe. But, you know, I did speak with a gentleman, Babe Dahlgren, that he was the guy that filled in for Lou Gehrig when Gehrig took himself out of the lineup.
Wow.
You know, and his consecutive game streak ended.
So are you the type of media, and I know you, and I know the answer, but I'm still going to ask it, because I know Matt would do this. So what was Babe's name again?
Babe Dahlgren.
Okay, so when you interviewed that young man, did you put in massive, you know, letters, "Today we chat with Babe"?
No, I didn't do that.
Or the Babe?
No, I don't do things like that. I noticed you do, but for myself, I try to just keep it kind of an even keel, you know.
I could see you doing that, Matt. Today we talked to the Babe. Of course, his name is Babe Henry, and he plays for the
I love talking to Babes. They're all that's why I live in Clearwater, Florida. They're everywhere.
I knew a guy that was a Vito, and they called him Babe Pirelli. Babe Pirelli played with the old Boston Patriots, and he was from back in Western Pennsylvania, Rochester, Pennsylvania, and he's in the Ring of Honor for the Patriots. He was a tremendous quarterback, played his collegiately at Kentucky, but that was the first Babe that I knew.
We did a video. I don't know if you saw it, Matt. We did a video as we were at Gillette Stadium, and it ended with, I went and pointed to marks all over Gillette Stadium of where Tom Brady threw touchdown passes from. I got tired.
You could have used like a roller. Yeah. Okay, you know.
It took hours.
Yeah, unbelievable.
All right, so baseball-wise, and we are waiting for the phone call from Scott Glazier, the executive director of the Union Home Mortgage Gasparilla Bowl. That's UCF versus Georgia Tech. We will have some tickets to give away. Your thoughts on Ohtani? And his here, I don't know which one of these two stories is more amazing. And Matt, knowing how much research you do, I'm sure you don't know this. A signs for $700 million, and he will be getting paid. How much do you think he's getting paid a year?
It's a 10-year contract, right?
Correct. It's a 10-year contract.
$70 million.
He signed for $700 million. How much do you think he will be making a year for the next 10 years?
$70 million.
The correct answer is, and I'm sure you know this, Ron, he will be making $2 million a year.
$2 million a year?
$2 million a year.
Okay.
He deferred $670-some million for 10 years from now to allow the Dodgers to continue to not only bring in more players, but that'll keep down the luxury tax, which made that whole thing work.
Yeah, but you know what? That's very deceiving.
He's not giving money away or giving it back.
Right, right. And plus, I don't think it was a good deal for him, because I read the fine print, and I don't like his health plan on that, because I read where he has to pay for X-rays when he goes for a dental to the dentist, and I think that's ridiculous.
It should have been thrown in.
Yeah, should have.
I don't know.
He's got elbow issues already. I mean, he's already had surgery, which for a lot of guys that ends their career. I mean, I know he's a batter, and I know he brings value to the team because he's an exceptional hitter as a pitcher. But, I mean, 10-year contract for guys already been injury prone is a risk, in my opinion.
It's a risk only from the pitching standpoint. You know, like you said, he's going to DH. He's going to, you know, still hit. He'll probably play a little bit of the field, obviously now going to the National League. They're going to make their money back just in jersey sales in Japan, you know, the Japanese money, you know, all of that. It is a risk, and people have said this. He can't pitch next year, you know, because of the Tommy John. But there are players, there are pitchers that have come back, you know, after Tommy John a year and a half down. So, I mean, it'll definitely work out. Here's the funny thing. He had a going away party for the California Angels, okay?
Yeah.
Right? Because he was leaving the California Angels. He had a going away party. Of course, he's not moving.
Right.
He's staying in the same house.
Right.
Southern California, so, Orange County.
Yeah, Anaheim over to L.A. Yeah. All right, so
hold on, G-Man, before we move on to the next segment, you've spent your whole career in baseball, right? I mean, a lot of time in baseball.
We'll get back to Ron. You know, Ron's going to take a drink of water.
Okay.
Let's hold on a second.
All right.
Let's go to the phone lines and let's welcome the executive director of the Union Home Mortgage Gasparilla Bowl. We've talked about it a few times already, Scott Glazer. Scott, how are you, sir?
Hey, I'm doing great. How are you doing, guys?
Not too bad. We're broadcasting live in Las Vegas today and can't wait. Bowl season getting ready to kick off. Our game here in the Tampa Bay area next week. Talk about what goes into year long to get ready for not only this interview today, but what's about to happen next week.
Sure. You know, with the game scheduled for next Friday, you know, people think it's just a game, but to your point, it's a year round of activities and planning and then ultimately execution. So we really try to work with all of our local stakeholders, our corporate partners to create touch points, you know, ways for us to create engagement and host different events. We, you know, we have a fishing tournament. We host a variety of galas and a kickoff cruise and really just a whole different way to keep people engaged throughout the calendar year so that when football season does start in that August, September time period, that we know the Gasparilla Bowl is going to be in the conversation. And then you fast forward it to December, which is bowl season. And here we are 9 days away from kickoff. So it's really a year-round approach, a lot of conversations with conferences and teams and just kind of getting ready for that selection Sunday. And now we're off and running and ready for kickoff.
What we continue to talk about, not only bowl season, but college football, there's football fans, obviously, in our state of the state of Florida, the number one sport. You know, it's no comparison between college football, a college bowl game, and going to an NFL game. Both great, but the atmosphere at a college game and then, you know, to step it up a couple notches to a bowl game, you know, what the fans can enjoy and expect of a college football bowl game.
Yeah. I mean, I think the passion you have in college athletics in general, and then you add football into that. It just makes it all the more special. You know, we really pride ourselves in that student athlete experience, you know, giving those seniors, fifth year seniors, an opportunity to play another game, maybe impress a scout to try to get into the league if that's the route they're going. But it's also about, you know, those underclassmen that didn't get as much playing time and they're trying to impress their coach going into the new year. And so I think the fans, they like to see their team before getting to the holidays. You know, you get to maybe see some unique, you know, players and plays that they get a little creative and take a little bit more risk. And then you take two great conferences like we have in the ACC and the Big 12 and two teams that are regional and close enough to travel. It just creates a great atmosphere for everybody. So, yeah, college football just hits all the levers and all the switches.
Let's talk about the two teams that will be playing next Friday. And when I saw the announcement, the first thing I thought of is this is like a WWE pick. And what I mean by that is you've got UCF coming, so you're going to have the fans of the UCF Knights coming. You have Georgia Tech, so you're going to have the fans of Georgia Tech coming. And then you have UCF coming, so you're going to have the fans who hate UCF coming to the game to root against them.
Yeah, you know, you get, like you said, you get two teams like that, both 6-6, maybe didn't necessarily have the season they wanted in terms of trying to, you know, the road to a New Year's Six or a CFP. But you have two great universities. You got Georgia Tech, who hasn't been in a bowl game since 2018. So I think their team and their fans are just passionate. You know, it's about a 6.5-hour drive down the interstate. And then you got UCF. You know, UCF has been in this game 6 times, 3 in the last 5 years. We know their fans are super passionate. They love coming to Tampa. And then you do, you have your local fans who maybe have a difference between the two, but I think that's where people can check their egos at the door. They can realize not everybody can go to the same university, cheer for the same team, but they can cheer for the sport and the atmosphere and the holidays. And so, again, when you put all that together, it's just about putting a great event in Raymond James Stadium, giving these student athletes an opportunity to compete, and hopefully the fans have a little fun at the same time.
No, no, for sure. And what I meant by that is I'm a father of a UCF grad, and I'm a father of a USF grad. So, you know, I just know the UCF, USF. So I was saying I'm sure, and I know some USF fans that are going to the game just because they don't like that the other team. And whatever it takes to get fans to come to a building, I think, you know, is really a good thing.
It is. You know, people, and I'll be honest with you, I don't shy away from it. I'm a USF grad myself. I worked at the University of South Florida for about 20 years. But I can tell you, I'm working with the UCF administration several times now, first class. I know what everybody wants. The battle would be on the field, and that's what it should be. But in terms of just being a first-class university, in terms of how they manage their business, it's great. And when it comes to the selection, you know, ESPN Events, which is who I work for, you know, for ESPN, we own 17 of the bowl games. And when we talk about selection, we're trying to give that student-athlete experience. And quite often, it's about sending those teams away from their home stadiums. So UCF could have played at home. They could have played in the Cure Bowl. USF could have played at home in the Gasparilla Bowl. But instead, we give them, you know, a different opportunity between UCF or between the Cure, the Boca, and the Gasparilla Bowl. And it still gives an opportunity for these fans to travel and see their team. So, again, we're not always looking at just head-to-head matchup. We're looking at what experience we can provide for our in-state teams and still allowing fans to get there in a reasonable amount of time.
Absolutely. And finally, Scott, talk about what events are available for fans, you know, next week, and where fans can purchase tickets if they're not fortunate enough to win some of the tickets that we're going to be giving away.
Yeah, sure. You know, we're excited to have teams starting to come into town Monday. So from a team perspective, they'll be able to visit Busch Gardens, MacDill Air Force Base, and then do a community day at one of our local middle schools. And then from a fan perspective, we have a block party scheduled for next Thursday at the Tampa Convention Center, just adjacent to the Sail. So locals will be familiar with that. That's scheduled 4:30 to 6:30 p.m. It's free. Somewhat of a battle of the bands, spirit squads, coaches and players will speak a little bit. Merchandise sales will be there. And then on game day, parking lots open at 3:30. Our fan invasion on the south side of the stadium opens at the same time. So we'll have live music. We'll have some pirate floats out there leaning into our Gasparilla theme. There'll be activities for, you know, for the full family. And then gates open at 5 p.m. with kickoff scheduled on ESPN at 6:30 p.m. And, you know, we're really excited. Only game on in the country. And so tickets are available. You can visit GasparillaBowl.com. And we'd love to host you next week before you head home for the holidays.
Awesome. Good stuff. Scott, thank you very much for your time. And we will see you at Raymond James next week.
Hey, I look forward to seeing you guys. Thanks so much.
Take care. That is Scott Glazier, the executive director of the Union Home Mortgage Gasparilla Bowl. All right, we're going to hit a break. When we come back, our first UFC fighter steps in. And if Ron steps out of line, we're going to discuss that with Dustin. We'll be right back.
This is Alice Cooper talking with Randy Harris on Talking Sports.
This is the TAN Talk Radio Network.
Construction companies always face hiring challenges. Do you need temporary help on your project? Or maybe you want a true partner for all of your staffing needs? StaffZone is construction staffing excellence, providing both skilled and general labor positions. And we want to work for you. For all of your construction staffing needs, call us at 877-247-ZONE or visit us online at thestaffzone.com to find your local branch. Our staffing professionals are eager and ready to earn your business. That's 877-247-ZONE.
Ladies and gentlemen, fighting out of the Christmas corner, MMA bobblehead from MMABobblehead.com.
Ready to take charge of your day? Bucked Up energy drinks are taking over the energy drink market. Find them at Walmart, Publix, GNC, and Vitamin Shop. Real energy and real focus. Get bucked up!
You're hungry. Where do you go to eat?
Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
You want to have a drink? Where do you go?
Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
Having a get-together with the guys from the softball team? Where do you do it?
That's right. Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
Located at 1320 Central Avenue, St. Petersburg, right across from Tropicana Field, Berg's is the best place to take the whole family for food and fun. Going to a Rays game? Have dinner before the game at Berg's, and after the Rays win, come and celebrate with all your friends at Berg's, right across from the Trop. So come down and see Berg and the whole gang at Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
8-Man Strong is not simply about the biggest or strongest. It's about those who have survived true lows, suffered, faced demons real or in their heads, and are fighting to come back against it all. If you live with a passion for greatness and strength and resilience towards all obstacles that may attempt to derail you, if you are bold and aggressive in the pursuit of the things you want in life, if you are meant to overcome everything that stands in your path of reaching your goals, then you are 8-Man Strong.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Hi, this is Chris Sims from the Tampa Bay Bucks, and you're talking with Randy Harris, baby.
All right, we are back up to live from the Apex, or it's Apex. I don't want them to yell at me again. It's not the Apex. That's what it is.
Well, you can get away with
it. It's my home, right? Oh, no, I was told it's not my home.
Well,
I get confused on them. All right, so we're here in Las Vegas as we get ready for the big UFC week and weekend. Matt's in studio and joining us right now, Mr. Dustin Jacoby. How are you?
I'm doing great, man. Thanks for having me on the show. There we go. Can you hear me? Yeah, I'm doing great, man. It's fight week. We're excited. We're ready to rock.
What's fight week like for you? And I ask that all the time, and it's, you know, some fighters, you know, they get all up in it. You know, they get nervous about it, or they don't get nervous. Some, it's just another day. It's not your first one. I understand that. But what's it like for you?
Yeah, it's definitely changed over the years. When I was younger, I was a lot more, I don't know, I still get nervous, but I was a lot more just uneasy, unsure. These days, I'm much more confident, much more relaxed. I know that the work's been put in, and it's a fun week for me. I don't, you know, the hay's in the barn, the work's been done, so I don't do too much. I get workouts in today, tomorrow. Weigh-ins are Friday, and then it's go time on Saturday.
Eve Edwards told me many, many moons ago that, like what you just said, you know, the work is what you've done up until you've gotten here. This is the reward this week.
Yeah.
And Saturday's the ultimate last day of school, and you get to enjoy it.
Absolutely, man. People think that the fights are tough. All the training's the hard part. The training leading up, the 10 weeks of camp, the fight is the fun part. You should be able to just kind of relish in the moment, enjoy the moment. You know, our coach tells us all the time, be where your feet are, and just really soak it in, man. Smell the roses and appreciate where you are in life.
What about being here in the Mecca? In Las Vegas, is it any different for you than when you fight in other venues?
Well, I tell you what, it used to be going back to when I made my UFC debut in October 2011. I was a 23-year-old kid, and it just seemed like, man, the stage was too big, right? And over the years, you know, I started my run in Vegas not so hot. I started 0-2, and the first time ever fighting in the fight capital of the world, and then had to wait several years, but came back. Years ago and started, you know, putting some wins together, and now it feels good to be home. It feels good to be in the spotlight and a big card like UFC 296. You know, I'm excited to be a part of it.
You mentioned, you know, about nerves and the nerves that run through you. You know, and I think fans don't get that, because a lot of times fighters, they don't say that. But you have to be nervous. You're going in. It's not a regular sporting event. It's not you're playing in the Super Bowl. And if you lose the Super Bowl, you know, you're still going to be okay the next day. You're in a fist fight on Saturday, so there has to be some kind of nerves.
Oh, absolutely, man. I texted one of my corners, a buddy of mine, Randy Caruso, the other day. I was like, hey, man, will you send me the game plan again of our opponent? I just need to read it. I was feeling kind of antsy. I told him, you know, I'm starting to get really nervous. And I was kind of unsure when I sent that to him, you know, because it's like I didn't want him to think I wasn't ready, but he sent back, you know, it'd be weird if you weren't. And that really calmed me. That really made me realize, you're right, man. It's fight week. The all the prep, everything, all the buildup, it's here, you know. So nerves are a good thing. You just get them to, you know, float and fly in the same formation, man. It's going to be a good night.
There's also, I just learned a really fun way to deal with your nerves. So my 3-year-old granddaughter went back to daycare today. So she told me on Monday that she was nervous. And then she came up with, this is the brightest 3-year-old. And you don't know me very well, but if my grandchildren were dummies, I would say it. If my two kids were dummy, I'm not that parent. Okay, oh, they're great.
Yeah.
And they're, you know, they're
call,
a moron. Right.
Yeah.
So she's like, I know how I can handle my nerves. Let's role play. She's three. She goes, you be Nell and I'll be mommy.
Dude, that is incredible. That reminds me of an Eric Church song. I learned that from a three-year-old, man. They're amazing. Kids are amazing. And that just kind of calmed me just hearing her say that. You know, the confidence the three-year-old had just gave me more confidence. Yeah. So that's pretty neat.
So we did the role. I said, there's, you know, I'm nervous. And then she was like, no, you're not. Okay.
Dang. Where is she? We need to call her in here. She needs to be my tag-along partner for Fight Week.
We can do that next time for sure, for sure.
But the nerves, you have to – that's in everything. You know, not just in the sport. You have a new job if you're out there. If you're working at a department store, you're nervous anyway. You know, that just goes with it. I spoke with Gerald McClellan years ago, great champion, boxer. And I said to him, I said, you're so calm. You look so calm to me. I can't, but this was in Mexico. He's funny. He said, I'm really not. But he said, you know, I'm always nervous. When I spar with somebody, I may not even know who the sparring partner is. When I'm tying my shoes, getting ready, my hands are shaking. He said, because that's just all part of it. You just learn to deal with that. And I think you've got it down pretty good. Now, you know, the more experience you have, as you know, the more comfortable you'll get. You know, when you're younger, you don't have any frame of reference or anything. But now it seems like you look to me like you're ready.
Yeah, well, absolutely, man. It's a young man's sport, but I tell these guys, experience is everything. And until you go through it, you don't fully understand it. But I look at guys like, you know, Glover Teixeira, Michael Bisping, who, you know, went their whole career just trying to get to the top. And then finally in their mid to late 30s, they got to that, you know, championship title fight right. And won the belt. So, you know, it's something that's an acquired taste, just getting through the nerves and dealing with them every day. Yeah, man, you just got to be comfortable with the uncomfortable.
Before we go to the studio, I know Matt has something. But again, we were talking about age and, you know, how long I've been covering the sport.
Yeah.
When he said back in the day, you heard the names he said. You know, he didn't go Randy Couture. He didn't go Tim Sylvia, you know, Jens Pulver. He went more recent. So it just shows you how young you are.
Yeah. You know, I'm 35, but guys that I really draw inspiration from are guys like Bisping. You know, when I first started watching the sport, it was Randy Couture, Chuck Liddell. But then I, you know, continued watching the sport. And again, a guy that really sticks out is Michael Bisping, man. He just, he traveled that road and he was in big fight after big fight, but he never reached the pinnacle of the sport until late in the 30s.
Yeah. And you know, I'll tell you something. In this, you're 35. You're one of the, on this card, he's one of the younger guys. There's a lot of older fighters on this card. It's amazing.
Yeah.
You know?
It's a special card to be a part of. And it feels good to hear that as well.
Yeah.
All right, go, Matt.
So, first of all, G-Man, I want to say thanks for bringing up the family tree, the McClellan name, Gerald, McClellan. We did come from a long lineage of champions, winners. General George beat Lee's army back in the Potomac, you know. So thanks for that. But, Jacoby, my question is, you know, you got known for taking a short kickboxing fight on a short notice. And a lot of strategy the guys have, they do these massive weight cuts to give them an advantage in the octagon. But it seems like your whole career, you've just stayed ready. And that seems to be kind of a trend now with guys that have missed opportunity because they're too far away from a weight goal and an opportunity comes about. So do you still keep that same philosophy? Is that still part of your daily training?
Yeah, man, we just stay active, stay competing daily in the gym, and you never want to fall off too far. But, yeah, man, just be ready when the opportunity arises. That's one thing that I've always heard and stuck to. If you're not ready when an opportunity comes, I mean, when are you going to be ready? So you just got to stay ready and live in the moment.
When you get that phone call, what are you and the team looking for? You know, is it the location? Is it the number of the card? Is it who the main event is? Is it, you know, I need a paycheck? It's, you know, the holidays. You know, what goes into it? Does it, or is it all, or is it nothing?
Yeah, it varies every single time. For this fight, I got the phone call. My teammate Brandon Roybal was already on the card. He's fighting for the Flyweight World Championship. And I really liked the matchup when they said the name. But B, I was like, man, I'm going to be there anyway. My teammate's fighting. I'm going to be in the arena. I can't be there and not just be the man in the arena. So it's an opportunity to step up. And, yeah, of course, you get to collect a paycheck. And There's several thoughts. Two paychecks. You know, three if it's a really good day.
Yeah, you're right.
There's several thoughts that go through your mind. You know, location is another one. When I hear, it's, you know, in New York, Madison Square Garden, I took a short notice fight there, UFC 268 on 4 days' notice. And I was like, man, it's a MSG. How could I say no to this? You know, so every opportunity is unique. And in this case, I think the main thing for me was my teammate was on the card fighting for the world championship, and I figured I might as well step in there with him.
When you say a place like MSG, and of course it's the number one, you know, facility in the world, what were you able to do? Did you walk around? Did you look in like some of the offices and some of the memorabilia stuff that's there? You know, again, or is it just a work week? And yeah, it's cool to be in MSG, but you really didn't get to experience that.
Yeah, well, that's the thing, man. You're always in the moment. You don't get to fully soak it in. That's why it's always fun when, you know, you're cornering a teammate or a buddy. You can right. You can enjoy the outside things a little bit more. You're definitely in the zone when you are the man, you know, stepping in there. But Madison Square Garden was awesome. You know, walking around, seeing some of the memorabilia in there. And another cool place I fought was Inglewood. At the Forum, Inglewood, California. Right. So seeing all the rock stars and the bands and the stars that have performed there was really cool.
We always talk MMA. It's called Knockout Radio, but we talk other sports as well. Are you another sport, other sports guy?
Yeah.
I see your guy wearing, and I like it, the Washington Redskin cap.
I like the cap. My team's in that division. I'm a big Cowboys fan. I'm a big football guy. So, yeah, man, I'm a big sports guy in general.
Have you done the tour at Dallas Stadium?
I've been to Dallas Stadium one time. We kind of did our own. We haven't done the official tour, but, yeah, I looked around and got to, you know, check it out. Phenomenal stadium.
Let me know next time you're in the area. And we'll set that up so that you can do the tour. The tour is pretty cool. Yeah, his best friend or one of his best friends is the drummer of the Scorpions, the rock band.
Right on.
So we flew there. We, you know, got it all set up. You go in the locker rooms, and it's cool. You know, it's, you know, especially when it's an iconic. You know, when it's the Yankees, when it's the Cowboys.
Right. I would love to do that. So I might have to take you up on that.
I know you have a question, Ron, but I was concerned for a second. Because when he said his favorite team was in the Division II, and I'm starting to like the guy. You know, we've kind of conversed on Twitter, but we've never met till just now. And I really liked him. I was afraid he was going to say Eagles, and we were going to have to end this conversation now.
No, not an Eagles fan here. Sunday night was awesome.
I was born in Philly, and I hate the Eagles.
Okay, that tells you nothing.
Well, that's a heck of a story with that. You ought to feel really good with the Cowboys because they're on a roll right now, but I'm more interested in the AFC because I'm part of Steeler Nation.
Okay, well, they're having a little bit of a rough
They're having year. A problem, too. Yeah, they've needed a quarterback for how long now? But
yeah, we had, the Steelers-Patriots just matched up, and there was just nothing on the line. It didn't feel right.
No.
Was that the 0-0 game going into the 18th quarter?
No, I think that was what game was that? Gosh, it's on the tip of my tongue. The Vikings. It was the Vikings Raiders, right?
That's what it was. Yeah, because it was here.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Matt. What you got?
So Dustin, I don't know if you're believe in conspiracy theories, but there is a TikTok video out now where they went back to like the last four Super Bowls, and they looked at the logo that NFL puts out for the Super Bowl, and they compared the color schemes. And they originally said that this color scheme was going to be the 49ers versus the Baltimore Ravens, purple and bronze. But since it went viral, that there was like a scripted WWE kind of tone to it, it's now supposed to be the Dallas Cowboys versus the Kansas City Chiefs.
Well, gosh, I sure hope that's accurate, man.
They put out a new logo after they got pushback from the last one.
Well, I hope you're right on that. I'm a little bit of a conspiracy theory guy. I don't go too far down the rabbit hole, depending on the subject, but I'm going to go with the Cowboys and Chiefs. It'd be a great Super Bowl.
Let me ask you this, because we were going to talk about it later, but since you are a football guy, give me your thoughts. I'm sure you saw the Kansas City game and the offsides call or the motion call.
Right.
Give me your thoughts on that.
Well, I think it's pretty crazy. Was he offsides? Yes. But if you go back, and Dan Orlovsky was pointing this out, there was four or five different times throughout that game that he was lined up in the exact same position, and no penalty was thrown. So, you know, take it what it is. I know I understand the frustration from Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes, but they did win a Super Bowl off of
many calls.
Off of many calls. Right. So it's kind of a catch-22. You know, it's unfortunate to see the game dictated by the refs like that. But, you know, he was offsides. Offsides on the offense, it just doesn't seem right. I feel like you should stop it before the play even happens. But they did have multiple opportunities afterwards to get it right. They just couldn't do it. So it's frustrating, but, I mean, it is what it is.
And the biggest story is only because of what happened. You know, if Kelce doesn't, you know, flip it back, you know, lateral back, we're not discussing it.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, but that play was so incredible.
Sure.
So it sure
that,
was.
To take that away, you know, because of that
there.
Call, I think it was ridiculous.
But
I agree. Myself. I agree. Well, like I said, I mean, he was lined up in the same spot four or five times throughout the
right.
game. So.
So what is the bigger controversy? The call on the field? Or when Tony Romo said that Kelce's wife, Taylor Swift, was in the stands. And then he had to apologize. That's the world we live in.
I know. It's awful.
I've been really caught up with that, with the Taylor Swift thing. It's added so much.
Where's your bracelet, your love bracelet that you have?
It says UFC on one side and
Taylor Swift on the other. As we get to know you, do you collect anything, whether it's MMA memorabilia, other memorabilia, or what are you looking for if you could acquire it?
I don't collect anything. I guess I have a golf ball collection. I'm a very avid golfer, and I all of my accolades, my trophies dating back. I was telling Cody dating back. My sister and mom came out for Thanksgiving, and they brought all of my wrestling stuff from when I was started at 4, 5, 6 years old. I had old brackets, so all of my accolades I like to hang up. I'm proud of that stuff. I don't really collect anything like sports cards or, you know, I guess I Vegas poker chips. I've been collecting those, and I was told the Tropicana is going down, so I need to go buy a bunch of those poker chips. Buy like $1,000 in poker chips, and when people go and buy all the tables when they, you know, liquidate
their
stuff.
The felts and stuff.
Yeah, exactly, and then just sell them the poker chips.
But who has signed some of the golf balls that you have?
I don't have them signed. I just get them from courses.
Oh, okay.
From different courses.
Oh, that's so much easier. I was going to offer you a gift. That's so much easier to get you than what I was afraid you were going to say.
Yeah,
so,
man. I just get the course logo ball and start that collection. I started a little late. I had my buddies that always did it. My grandpa always did it. And I was like, I've got no use for this. And then last year, I was like, you know what? I can't be the only one not doing this. So I need to get caught back up. I haven't collected from every course, but I've got some good ones.
I want to get this in real quick. We know with golf, I like golf also, the mental aspect of it. Can you use that in MMA at all? Anything that you've learned?
Yeah, absolutely. Just staying composed and one shot at a time. You know, in a fight, you got moments. A moment's only 90 seconds, so you may lose a moment. The fight could be over in a moment. My last fight was an 82-second knockout. And that moment was not even a full moment, and the fight was over. So just to always be in the game, you know, don't focus on the bad stuff. Just focus on what you can control and just keep the ball in play.
The great Ben Hogan said, somebody asked, what's the most important shot in golf? He said the next one.
That's exactly right, man.
You're right, yeah.
How often do you get out and play?
I usually play a couple times a week, and in fact, I'm going to be playing tomorrow right here in Vegas with my coach. My coach and his son and another one of my corners, we're going out to Rhodes Ranch, and I don't have anything going on tomorrow morning, and I don't have a big weight cut, so we're just going to go sling the ball around a little bit and get my first dub of the week.
Are you a fishing guy as well?
I enjoy fishing, yeah. I don't get out as much as I would like to. I used to more so when I grew up in Illinois and more in the country to go hit the small ponds and bass fish, but here recently, I've been getting into a little more trout fishing and fly fishing in Colorado.
I like to give thank you gifts, you know, when athletes come on. So we do have a couple things that we're going to send to you as well. But I'd like to talk to Nobby. She'll verify that this is all legit and on the up and up. Love to get you to come to town. We're based in Tampa, St. Pete.
Okay.
I'll get you on the lakes at Walt Disney World so you can fish there. Captain Kelly's involved in our show. He can take you deep sea. He could take you bow fishing, whatever you want to do. And then I'll put you on the golf course with Steve Monroe.
Oh, man.
Now, you have no idea who Steve Monroe is.
No.
And I get that. I believe he was the 2019, I think, long drive world champion.
Okay.
Wow. He is the greatest golfer I've ever seen.
Now the greatest long drive or
everything.
The greatest golfer?
Everything.
Really?
Everything. He hits 320 off his knees.
Now, why doesn't he... What does he? I'm sure he makes a career out of it already, but he doesn't want to do the tour or live golf or.
Well, we tried that. We had some people that were going to back him, but people don't realize what goes into that, the practice every day, and you know, I mean, he. I'm trying to think of what I should say on the air. He gets paid to play golf.
Okay.
So
yeah, so he does well already.
He's in Vegas a lot. Getting awesome. Paid to play golf. He plays a lot of charity events. I think he'll have a great time. So we'll talk about all that.
Just we'll have to negotiate the number of strokes I get aside.
I don't think you want to do that.
But I'm in.
I don't think you want to do that. So he does. We do a lot of charity stuff where he's the long drive guy. I'm sure you've seen a long drive. So he can tell. I'm sure you can too. When a club is in a bag, he can tell if it's a right or left-handed club. I can't. I don't know how it sits or whatever. So he'll go, all right, long drive contest, $100. Yeah, if you outdrive me, you win $500. And so, and he goes, and I'll use your club. Well, they know that he's left-handed. They don't know that he knows that he's left-handed. So they're like, can I up the bet? Because they're laughing because it's left-handed club and he's hitting right-handed. He goes, yeah, you can up, you know, sure. So, all right, let's do it for $1,000, $5,000, whatever. He comes up, he hits left-handed, and Steve's like, oh, my God, you're left-handed? Oh, no, and they're all laughing. And then he holds it reverse and outdrives him.
Wow.
It's stupid.
Well, I'd love to see this guy on the golf course.
Yeah, well, I'll get you all his info. You can YouTube him. But, yeah, we'll definitely set all that up. Let's end it taking it back to Saturday night. Give me your thoughts on your opponent. Give me your thoughts on what you want to do, meaning, you know, how having fun and just flowing, you know, as this fight continues.
Yeah, so I'm fighting Alonzo Menifield. He's a big, strong guy, has a lot of knockout power, and he's another striker, man. And I'm one of the best strikers in the division, and my goal Saturday night is to go out there and prove that. Just go out there and get the tone, get the party started the right way for my team and I. Again, Brandon Royval, my teammates, fighting for the World Flyweight Championship of the world. So if I can go out there and just get a dub and lead the way for him, make him feel comfortable, that's my goal Saturday night, and I think I'm going to get that done.
Matt, I know you have one more, but real quick, how difficult will it be? You know, you've talked about your teammate and teammates to block that out. I mean, yeah, you know, that's your guy, that's your boy, that's all that stuff. But you got to take care of your job first, and not think about that until your fight's over.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that I'm going to do great with that, in the sense that I think by me going out there and putting on a great performance is going to take a lot of pressure off of him. And I enjoy being in that role. I enjoy being that guy to make people around me better, to ease them, make them feel more comfortable. And that's my mission Saturday night.
Go ahead, Matt.
Hey, Dustin. So going back to the golf, obviously you fight in the octagon with no shoes on. Most golf courses ban barefoot golf. But as we learn more about the body and the mechanics of power and connection to the ground, have you ever played barefoot golf? And if not, do you know if any courses that allow it? Because I think, personally, you can be a better golfer if you did it barefoot.
Yeah, you know what? That is an interesting concept. I actually played with a guy one time who's walked barefoot for, he was like 60-something. He's walked barefoot for 40-some years, and he plays every round of golf barefoot. Me, I like wearing my shoes for whatever reason. And when I get down and just, it's the height of my club. My clubs are custom, and when I lose that extra inch or so on my feet, that the swing and the level and the swing just isn't the same. So I've never really put much thought into it. I've never played barefoot. I'm more of a shoe guy. I'm kind of weird too. Like if I'm bird hunting or I'm fishing, I like to have some kind of glove on. If I'm grabbing something or if I'm in the water, I like to have water shoes on. And then I'll go anywhere. But if I have bare feet, bare hands, just not the same.
I have been kicked off golf courses for wanting to play in flip-flops. Yeah, I play in flip-flops. Jim McMahon taught me that. Jim McMahon played barefoot.
Okay.
And then, you know, he went one time playing flip. I'm like, that's me. I live in flip-flops. We live in Tampa, St. Pete.
Yeah.
You know, I have all those shoes that I'll never wear. I'll have to get your size. I may send you some.
Okay.
You know, I just go out there and have a good time. And, you know, I'm in shorts, flip-flops, a hat. You know, the music's blaring.
You don't tear through the flip-flops when you swing?
No.
You never saw him swing.
You've never seen him. Well, and a lot of times when I play with, and his nickname is Tiger, when I play with Steve Monroe, I'm not worried about driving. I'll be hitting his drive anyway.
Yeah, exactly.
I'll be hitting his chip as well.
He's a great scramble partner.
Yeah, no. If you ever want to win a tournament, you know, they have a lot of those tournaments. You know, the winner gets Super Bowl tickets. If you want a guaranteed win.
I need this guy's info.
I will definitely hook you up.
And Dustin, we should put out right now that Dustin has no shoes on for the interview. So that was interesting.
Right? Well, he's trying to get ready for Saturday.
That's right.
You know,
that's
trying to get, so thank you for stopping by.
Man, I wish we could fight in boxing shoes or some type of shoe. I'd feel much more comfortable, man. I'm kind of jealous when I see the boxers out there in shoes. Just got a better footing, better grasp of it. So
well, you could wear
that
golf
was back
shoes
in the day.
Out.
Yeah.
Hey, there you go. Be there the first guy to fight in the octagon in golf shoes.
Why not?
I'm sure.
UFC. I had a showdown with Justin Gaethje earlier this year.
Did you?
He's a big-time golfer, so I went up to him. I said, Justin, I know you're a golfer, and I've been talking a lot of smack lately, saying I'm the best golfer in the UFC. And he looked me straight in the eyes. He goes, well, I tell you what, today we're going to find out if you're the best golfer in the UFC. And I ended up beating him that day. We both shot really well. I shot a 73. He shot a 78 or 79.
Wow.
And we both played a game. There was no putts given either.
Right.
It was you putt everything out, and we're going to see who the best golfer in the UFC is.
As I continue to throw other experiences that you may be interested in, it's the PGA Golf Show every January in Orlando. 1.6 million square feet of anything and everything golf-related.
I am so
excited. Clubs, shoes, balls, this, that. We'll talk. Take care of your business.
Okay.
And then we'll touch base, and if we can get you down there in January, this is something you need to experience.
Got it, man. I'm in.
Cool. We appreciate your time. Thanks for stopping
by.
And thank you for being so friendly on social media.
Yeah.
Because like I said, we've tweeted back and forth and talked, and I know that you retweeted you're going to be on the show. And I like when athletes and celebrities and non-athletes and celebrities use Twitter and use social media for what it's supposed to be used for.
Yeah, for sure. And I'm trying to get more active on Twitter. You know, there's a lot of great people like yourself, great businesses out there that I'm in, you know, touch with daily. So
good stuff. I know we're going to get your address. We're going to send you a care package from 8 Man Strong, as well as some stuff from Bucked Up Energy Drink. And we're going to talk about getting you to the Tampa Bay area as
well.
Awesome,
man. I appreciate it.
Let's go hit a quick break. Coming to you live from the Apex here in Las Vegas as we get ready for not just another UFC card, a pretty big one. It's going to be very exciting and entertaining, and we're going to talk more about it when we return.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Hey, this is Matt Hasselbeck of the Seattle Seahawks. You're talking sports with Randy Harris.
8-Man Strong is not simply about the biggest or strongest. It's about those who have survived true lows, suffered, faced demons real or in their heads, and are fighting to come back against it all. If you live with a passion for greatness and strength and resilience towards all obstacles that may attempt to derail you, if you're bold and aggressive in the pursuit of the things you want in life, if you are meant to overcome everything that stands in your path of reaching your goals, then you are 8-Man Strong.
It's time, Tampa Bay. It's college bowl season in your backyard. ReliaQuest Bowl 2024. Two of the country's top head coaches go face-to-face. The Big Ten's Luke Fickell and Wisconsin Badgers collide head-on with Brian Kelly and the LSU Tigers of the SEC for the coveted ReliaQuest Bowl Championship Trophy. New Year's Day, Raymond James Stadium, Ticketmaster.
Does your garage door opener seem to have a mind of its own? Or is it a squeaky or noisy garage doors? Sounds like they need a simple tune-up. Call Moores Boulevard Garage Doors. That's M-O-R-S-E Boulevard Garage Doors at 727-522-5070. I'm so glad I did, and they fixed my garage door correctly on the very first visit. Moores Boulevard Garage Doors offers 24/7 service and no extra charge for nights or weekend emergency calls. Repair or replace your garage door with Moores Boulevard Garage Doors. Call them today at 727-522-5070.
Helen Ficalora Fine Jewelry at fair prices. Christmas gifts, we have them. Hanukkah gifts, we have them. At Helen Ficalora, we have the gifts. Shop jewelry now at HelenFicalora.com with code Z100 for free shipping. That's HelenFicalora.com.
The hobby of trading cards is back and better than ever. Rhino Cards, specializing in sports cards, Star Wars, and MetaZoo, has just opened a second location in St. Petersburg at 406 11th Avenue North, Suite B, and would love you to stop by to buy, sell, or trade cards. Rhino Cards is a licensed Upper Deck diamond dealer, as well as licensed Fanatics and Topps dealer. Get back in the hobby or add that special card at Rhino Cards, 406 11th Avenue North, Suite B in St. Pete, and 4548 South Suncoast Boulevard in Homosassa.
Got bills? Looking for work? But nobody is hiring. Staff Zone is.
As the leading provider of commercial construction, industrial, and special event staffing throughout the Southeast and Texas, StaffZone has plenty of work to go around, and they need you now. Don't wait. Go now to www.thestaffzone.com and find a branch closest to you. Work today, get paid today. That's the StaffZone way.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hi, this is Cal Ripken Jr., and you're listening to Talking Sports with Randy Harris.
All right, we are back coming to you live from the Apex here in Las Vegas, UFC with 296. 296?
Is it? Yeah.
296. And I was at UFC 11.
Well, we started the show, it was 294.
Yeah.
You know, but now it's 296.
What's the first UFC you saw, Matt?
Man, I don't know. I mean, 292? I would say the one I remember, like probably the Tito Chuck, that era, is really when I got into it.
That's probably 30s or 40s.
Yeah, I mean it's been since I've lived in Denver. I mean I knew what it was when I lived in Indiana, but I didn't really catch on myself personally until I moved to Denver.
All right, so I know you had some more questions, so let me throw it back to you. What question do you have for us?
Well, since G-Man,
I'll play Dustin, and G-Man will play me.
Yeah, since G-Man's so versed in baseball, his take on the Simpsons and Matt Groening and the writers for the Simpsons predicting that Ohtani would go to the Dodgers some 3 years ago. Have you guys considered going to the writers of the Simpsons to get inside information in upcoming futuristic trades?
No, I never gave that much of a thought to contact them, but. You know, did you have a pick on it? Did you know where he would go or end up, Ohtani?
I mean, we heard Toronto was like the likely source. You know, people in the Tampa market because the spring training's here in Dunedin, Florida. We have a lot of Toronto fans, obviously, but I think people were starting to buy preseason tickets. Like when they got the wind that he might be coming here. And then all of a sudden, last minute, it went to the Dodgers. But the Dodgers makes the most sense, I think, just with the culture and the ticket sales and the history of the brand.
Yeah.
I don't know if any of that plays into anything. The history, no. What does that have to do with Ohtani and the Japanese?
Well,
and I'm being serious. What history and Japanese connection is with Toronto or Dunedin? It's money. It's. I think if the Dodgers were 500 miles north, it's not as likely that, in my opinion, that Ohtani goes there. I think part of it is he's familiar. He likes where he lives. He doesn't have to move. That plays a small. I'm not sure he's aware of taxes in California, or he might not have done it.
Well, he will be.
Yeah. Well, you know, I don't. Hold on. I don't know accounting stuff, but if. 200 if 690 some million is deferred, is it the taxes of where you are when you start getting those payments? Because if he's taking 2 million now in California, and then when he retires in 10 years and he goes somewhere else, maybe be smart and move to Florida, the taxes are different. The taxes are less in Texas.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I don't know.
Would it be based on if they buy out his contract, if he gets traded later down the road, like somebody buys out the rest of his contract, would they be responsible based on where they're incorporated?
Well, I mean, it depends on the trade. So if you're going to trade somebody with that, you try to trade all of that. But what team is going to do that? You know, say in 5 years, you know, when he starts to dwindle a little bit and not worth $70 million a year, you think... And typically the first name you would say is the Yankees. The Yankees, the Red Sox are going to pay what the Dodgers owe for all these other years? I don't see that.
Isn't it interesting, though, that this has evolved, that this is the main conversation about sports? We're breaking down taxes.
Right.
No, really.
Yeah.
You know, when we were younger, you'd say, oh, man, that guy's incredible. He hits left-handers. Or Now it's you have to have a business degree to try to figure it out.
No, for sure, and arguably, and we can argue it. the greatest baseball player of all time is who we're talking about.
Well, you may feel that way.
No, I do feel that way.
Well, I know you do.
You know,
that's why I don't like to be on this show.
Okay. Well, I said it on purpose, so maybe it would give you a reason to leave.
Oh, man. That's a walk-off.
I think, obviously, he needs a couple more years. You know, I get that.
Yeah.
But he's not a good pitcher. He's a phenomenal pitcher. He's not a good hitter. He's a phenomenal hitter. Now, of course, you know, we got to look at statistics and, you know, what it's going to be down the road. But who would you put 5 years in, or I don't know how long? And again, you know, he played in Japan, so those years should count. But what numbers can you comment on of the same period that's better than what he's done?
Well, I mean, all-around ball player. You know, I'm so old school, but I mean, and not that this is a shock to anyone that, but I mean, is he better than what Willie Mays was as a player?
Yes, he is better because because he does both.
That doesn't matter. That doesn't matter.
I would much rather have this guy that's going to pitch every 5 days, get you 10, 12 wins. I think he's a better all-around player. Is he a better defensive player?
He's not the athlete that Willie Mays
I agree
was.
With that. No, I agree he's not the athlete. But who's going to help your team better? Who's going to help the team win when this guy is a dual threat, plays every day? Because that's the comment all the time, like when they're, a pitcher hits a batter and they both get a five-game suspension, the pitcher loses one game.
Right.
The batter loses all five. Here's a guy that if he drills you and gets a five-game suspension, he's out 5 games that he would be playing in and doing some good on the field.
Yeah, but I still don't buy that. But you know, if you're happy, you know, putting accolades on someone that doesn't have the numbers yet. You even said that yourself. You said that he could be.
I need to look down more often. We're at the top of the hour, so before we get cut off, let's hit the top of the hour, and we'll return after the news.
Told them you were living downtown. Driving all the old men crazy. The boys are back in town.
WTAN Clearwater
FM 106.1.
WDCF Dade City
FM 102.3.
Listen.